Okay, it's working today, which is really good. I'm really happy about that. It is working today. We've had some problems, technical glitches, but all the technical glitches seem to be in the distant past, which is great. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Well, and I believe that we are live and on
Which
the
is
air.
great.
Perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome to the 108th meeting of the Mastermind Roundtable. I am your host, Jan Landy, and I have some really good news to report that normally we'll have anywhere between 8 and 20 people in the room. But when we started this show back in the 107 episodes, 108 episodes ago, we were in the heart of COVID. We were absolutely in the heart of COVID, and everybody was really, what do we do? How are we doing this? You know, we're not working. We're freaking out. And there was no real grounding going on from people. People just didn't have anywhere to go to talk to other people of like-minded minds, to say the least, of what they wanted to do and how they were going to survive these tough times. And that was the whole concept of the Mastermind Roundtable, putting together like-minded people in our industry to talk about what's going on and how current events are affecting us and how to survive the tough times of COVID. Well, the COVID tough times are over. Things are amazing out there. And before I get started, I want to thank everybody who's watching on social media, YouTube, LinkedIn, SoundBroker, Twitter. We're everywhere. So if I missed one of the social medias where you're watching us, please note that you're so welcome to be here and listen in. So today, the beautiful part about it is most people are working today. And so this is going to be a little bit of a different show. And this is going to be, I guess, what I would consider the introduction to Ask the Sound Broker. So just remember, everything you hear today, as always, is an opinion. So do your own research. Okay. And that's where we stand. So now, as I was talking about how things are good right now, it appears that Live Nation UK is now set for the biggest summer ever. The biggest summer ever. And now that's pretty impressive when you think it. It's not just about the biggest summer since COVID, it's the biggest summer ever. And shows are off the hook. There are so many shows going on that there's not enough equipment to satisfy the need of all the shows. And you know what? They just announced, now Coachella just announced right now that they're starting to sell tickets for 2023. Which is almost amazing that it's almost a year out and they're selling tickets already. And people are back. Infocom has happened. NAMM has happened, where people have actually come to the show. Other things, Kenny Chesney is having a record season out there. He's broken all box office records. Brandi Carlile is out there. Sting is out there. Lady Gaga. I mean, you name it. Paul McCartney is doing shows. Anybody who can get out on the road is now out on the road. And that's really exciting. And ticket sales are amazing. So if you have the opportunity to go see a concert, you should jump in it and do it. And if you have a chance to work on it, work on it. I mean, I just got a call before the show started. David Dansky just picked up 10 gigs, and he called me from the Atlanta airport, and he'll be calling us in during the show if he gets good reception from his Uber or what's the other ride sharing service? It's been a while. I want to say LinkedIn, but I know that's not it. There's another ride series. Lyft, that's it. Lyft, that's Lyft, that's it. So that's really cool. So anyway, I'm really excited about this. By the way, our YouTube channel is exploding. We have a lot of subscribers now, more than ever before. And I want to thank everybody who's gotten this to this point. So why am I doing this? Why did I start it? I told you. Why am I continuing to do it when I have to wake up so early in the morning to get this? Is because this is what I love. And, you know, I guess I'm a frustrated performer. I guess everybody in our industry that is not performing right now at one time wanted to perform, whether it was a guitar, drum, piano, whatever they play. I would bet everything that anyone in this room who's been in this room for the history of this show or that you know in live sound production has at one time or another performed or wanted to perform. And so that's where we go. That's where we're at. So, interesting thing, by the way, I almost forgot, and I wanted to wish everybody who is a father, who would like to be a father, happy Father's Day. Good luck to everybody that like that. So anyway, That's what we got right now. So is there anybody in the room right now that would like to say something? Ken Porter is in the room, but he's not quite in the room. He's walking around in the back of the room. There he is. Kenny, a couple of things that I wanted to bring up with you, and that would be the possibility of talking about the Ryman birthday party that happened. The Ryman is now 130 something years old. Maybe you know something about that.
Yeah, I've been out of town, but I could call less and figure out what's going on. I haven't paid much attention to it. The Opry is about to hit a milestone on a number of shows and how long and all that stuff too, and they're talking about doing stuff there.
Right. And another thing that was in the news today is PRG announced the opening of Starwood Rehearsals, a new concept of rehearsal spaces in Nashville. And have you heard anything about that? And is that affecting you at all?
No, the property that they have, the warehouse are renting is the old Starwood on the edge of the parking lot. It was a parking lot of the old Starwood Amphitheater that was built in the 84, 85 in Nashville. Mm-hmm. They leased.
And while you're doing that, I just want to let you know that, you know, shows are hitting the road. And one of the things that's interesting is Christie Digital is doing a road show, and that's coming to Nashville on July 19th and 20th. They'll also be in Miami, Chicago, New York, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. And they're introducing their new product of Christie Digital projectors. Just thought I would throw that in because, you know, as a self-promoting aspect of it, we are Christie dealers, believe it or not. And so that's pretty cool. So anyway, that's really cool as well. Let's see what else is going on. In honor of Father's Day and what's happening in the world with inflation, Popeye's Chicken, I just thought I would throw this in. Popeye's Chicken is, in honor of its 50th anniversary, is bringing back 59-cent chicken from June 12th to June 19th. So you have an opportunity right now. Today's the 15th. You have four more days to jump in, and we'll throw the link in the chat of how you can get 59-cent chicken from Popeyes. And, you know, I was just talking to somebody about one time, a long time ago in one of the shows, I don't remember what episode, but we talked about the chicken sandwich wars, and it's heating up. And it turns out, based on this information, we were just having dinner last night, and I saw a play last night. I saw a play, Aida, the Elton John version of it, it was a high school play. And it was so interesting to see these kids do this high school play, and they were using like the most antiquated wireless system you can imagine, with only one cluster in the top of the roof. It's like it was a gymnasium, but it was really cool. And even though they had technical difficulties with the wireless, the kids just kept going and going. And it was something so spectacular that the concept of it outshined the technical limitedness of what they had the ability to use with modern day equipment, which I would say none of it was modern day equipment, but still it didn't matter. They just transcended it all. And even though microphones were cutting in and out and some microphones didn't work, it was still an amazing experience to watch this play and these kids do their job. It was the international school called Head Start here in Thailand. I really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun. And one of my good friends here, his son was the lead in the play. So I really enjoyed it even that much more. So, but it just seemed, you know, I was thinking as I was watching this play and they were having all this technical difficulty, how unacceptable it would have been in the United States, how if it would have happened in the US at any level, the person who had put this all together would be looking for a new job today. You know, so it's all relative in regards to that aspect of it. So anyway, speaking of good things, two people were rescued after falling into a tank of chocolate in Pennsylvania. Yep, they fell into a tank full of chocolate at the Mars M&M factory. And I would think that I just don't even know how that could happen. But you would think, you know, it sounds like a good thing. But when you realize that they could have died of chocolate suffocation. You know, I guess it's not so good. But I wonder what happened to that candy now. That's probably ruined, and you can't, you know, Mars has to dump the tank. You know,
that's better than a guy getting stuck in a boiling tank for tuna. He never came out.
Yeah, it sure would be. It sure would be. That's absolutely for sure. Let's see. What else did I want to talk about while we're... Moderna announced a new version of the COVID-19 vaccine that has a superior neutralizing antibody response against the Omicron variant compared to the original vaccines. And the other thing that's really happening right now is this: the new technology of the vaccines are no longer, what do they call it, the MR2 versions. I'm sure I've got that wrong, but the new versions are basically like the old vaccines that people are used to taking. And so maybe more and more people will take that. You know, we're still losing about 300 people a day, unfortunately. But the reality is most people who get COVID, it's just a bad cold now, and we're moving on. And that's a really, 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 really good thing, you know? And speaking of which, the CDC just dropped testing for travelers coming to the United States from abroad. So now you no longer need testing to come in. And I don't even believe you need COVID. You need to be vaccinated as well. So that's really a cool thing. Also, sticking on the COVID line right now, one thing that I also read this week is there was an article on healthaffairs.org, and the concept of it was, how did mask mandates affect COVID death rates? And a state-by-state analysis on the lingering question from COVID-19 swirls around whether wearing face masks helped or didn't help or whatever. And both healthy people and those experiencing symptoms to wearing masks in public. But bluntly, longer mask mandates did not correlate with fewer deaths per capita. But the study is inconclusive, except that vaccines save lives. So I have a link to that as well. We'll throw into the chat if you're interested in looking at that. But there was no conclusive proof whatsoever whether or not. And, you know, I don't know, for some reason, wearing a mask, I feel more comfortable. I feel safer in public than I ever did before. And I never thought I would enjoy wearing a mask. And I don't really enjoy it, but I find it more comforting to think that I'm doing something to protect myself from getting sick. And fortunately, knock on wood, I haven't caught COVID, and I'm very lucky. Or if I have, I don't know I caught it, but I've tested regularly, and I haven't had the antibodies. So I think there's some comfort in knowing that I feel good about wearing a mask in public, and especially when I go into a public restroom. Now I don't think I'll ever go into a public restroom again without wearing a mask. I don't know why, it just seems like that's the right thing to do these days, you know? So anyway, if anybody wants to jump in on any of the points I'm making, just feel free to jump in. Now, there's another thing that's in the news this week. And this is, if you're doing any sales on using Venmo or PayPal, eBay, any of those things, small business owners and individuals who make a profit selling goods or even old family knickknacks of a certain value will be soon getting an additional tax form to file from the IRS. Since January 1st of this year, companies like Venmo, PayPal, eBay have had to report gross statements of payments of more than $600 to the IRS. That's been reported by Bloomberg. So anyone who brings in more than that amount will be getting a 1099-K to file, including if you sell your old laptop or if your spring cleaning brings in over $600. And that's reported by the Washington Post. And that's pretty screwed, man. I think that is something that's really unfair, because most of the people that would be selling stuff on, you know, from their garage and stuff, that's a loss anyway, because they bought it and they're selling it for a lot less than they paid for it, you know. And if it's personal, they didn't write it off at all, so they didn't depreciate it, and they shouldn't have to pay any income tax on that, I think, you know. And
yeah.
Hold on, somebody is, mic is open and we're hearing some leak. I think it might be Ken. Let me mute his mic. Okay, Tina, what were you saying?
Can't hear you.
Yeah, she's basically saying that something about the Las Vegas jackpot, or if you win in the casinos, is that correct?
Yes.
And what's the rule on that, Tina?
You don't pay taxes. You only pay taxes if you win over $1,200.
Right. I guess that makes sense because they probably figure you've spent a lot more than that in gambling to win that kind of money. So, I mean, if you walk into Las Vegas, and I do love Las Vegas, but you look at these huge hotels and how elegant they are and how elaborate they are and how over the top they are. You know, you look at all of that and you say to yourself, wow, this is impressive. You know, just amazing, you know, the colors and the mirrors and the there's no mirrors in the casino, but the LED video walls and all of the accoutrements that they have in Las Vegas that bring you to Las Vegas. And you say to yourself, this is not a tribute to the winners, but this is absolutely the tribute to the losers. Because if everybody who came to Las Vegas won money, it would still be like a small desert town. You know, there would be no big buildings, you know, so, but the reality is that there's always someone that has to win. No matter how bad things get, there's always a winner in the crowd. And so, and that attracts people because most people think that the only way they're ever going to be rich is if they win the lottery or they win something from gambling, you know, in Las Vegas. Or, you know, that's why the lottery is so popular amongst poorer people, because they're the ones that buy the most tickets because they feel that if they win, their life changes. But in most cases, if they win, you know, their life doesn't change that much. As a matter of fact, sometimes it even gets worse, because then everybody they've ever known or ever met in their life is calling them up, asking for money. Every charity is hitting them up. Everybody wants something from them, you know?
I don't know. I mean, buying one ticket, you know, once a week, you know, is kind of like a, you know, hey, you know, I don't know what'll happen. You know, here's $5 and, you know, random quick pick, and it just buys you like a happy thought for a little bit, knowing you're going to lose.
Yeah, well, a lot of people don't buy just one ticket. That's what they find, is that the people that are in the lower income categories buy more than one ticket. Sometimes they spend the money that they need for food on lottery tickets, and that's a bad thing. But it's an addiction like anything else. And, you know, I mean, I see it here in Thailand. They have lotteries all the time that people just buy lucky numbers here. That's how they do it here. You pick your own numbers. They're on little pieces of paper. And it's a huge business. It's a absolutely huge business here. And most of the people that buy these are the poor ones that, you know, with the hopes that they're going to get out of it from under it. You know, but most people never do win that. And that's unfortunate. But there is surveys that have been taken that the average American feels that the only way they're ever going to get out from under is by winning the lottery. So, you know, I'll tell you something. I'll tell you a quick aside. When I first came to Las Vegas, I was invited to go see one of the TV shows that they film here about people playing cards. And during the break, they went in, they asked everybody what, you know, where they're from. And I just moved here from Los Angeles. And they were asking people what they did for a living. And people were saying, you know, I'm a school teacher, a truck driver, whatever. And they came to me, and for whatever reason, I said, I'm a California lottery winner. And the place erupted. Everybody started clapping and applauding, you know. And the guy, the MC, says, well, may I ask how much money you won? And I said, well, I won $5, but I gave it all back. And everybody broke up and laughed. But the fact of the matter was that because I had won the lottery, I got a round of applause. So it was something that people really seem to think that, you know, you're a star if you win the lottery. So anyway.
And keep in mind that you don't win the lottery. Your life still goes on kind of the way it is. These poor people have no life. It's like their only shot at coming out of it. So it's more than that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, David, you're breaking up like crazy. And of course, this is a podcast, so it's very difficult for people to listen to it when the audio quality goes down that much. So, yes, Ken.
The thing about the lottery, there's a show that I keep watching on Friday night on HGTV called My Lottery Dream Home. And the guy goes around the people that won the lottery and he asked them how they did it and stuff there. And they said, we want to buy our dream home with it. And they tell them how much. It's usually pretty good because a lot of times if they want $1 million, they'll say, well, I want a $250,000 house or I want something there. But it's very interesting to ever watch it, you know, just who has what. And there's some people like won like $4 million and they're only going to spend like $300,000 of it. So it's very logistical, very interesting, you know, who does what and with money.
Yeah. And the other thing, I'll never forget this. When the lottery first started, I was living in New York, and the Silver Cup Bread sign, if you've ever been to New York, it's a landmark in all the movies. They always show it, Silver Cup Bread. It's by the Brooklyn Bridge or the Williamsburg Bridge, and it's high up, and it's all electric light bulbs, at least it used to be in those days. And the guy that won it was the guy that changed the light bulbs, and he was interviewed. And they said to him, well, is the lottery going to affect your life? He said, absolutely not. I love my job. I love changing the light bulbs, you know. And a week later, I read in the paper that the guy was up there changing a light bulb at the very top of the bridge. And he looked down and he said, I can kill myself. What do I need this for? And he quit the job that day. So, you know, that's it. I don't know whatever happened to that guy, but that was one of the first lottery winners for Silver Cup Bread that was changing the light bulbs. Anyway, moving on. What else do I have to talk about? This week is pretty interesting. I talked about, what else? Okay, so here's an interesting thing. And in the United States, people tip. Everybody's expected to tip. You tip anywhere between 15 and whatever percentage you like. But here's a story that just came out. Millennials and Gen Z are demanding and getting higher wages, but that hasn't made them better tippers. According to a study from creditcards.com, boomers are actually the most generous tippers, with 87% saying that they always tip their servers at sit-down restaurants. In second place is Gen X, 77%, followed by millennials at 60%, and Gen Z at 52%. Whatever increased generosity Americans showed during the pandemic hasn't lasted. Just 73% of diners say they always tip in 2022, down from 77 in 2019. Now, I know that I tip. And here in Thailand, tipping is not a thing. It's really optional. And the interesting thing about it is the only people that really tip are Americans, because if you go to Europe, the tip is already included in the food. So when I go into the restaurant, it seems like I'm getting better service because they're expecting a tip from Americans. So what about you guys? How are you doing as far as the tipping department goes? Have you found that your tips have increased or decreased, or how do you feel about it? All right. I understand why nobody wants to give me an opinion on that, because we're going on the record. That's okay. Anyway, let's see, what else did I want to say? Well, we got some good news. I mean, whether you agree with it or not agree with it, the Senate has finally moved and they're going to do something with gun legislation, safety legislation, at least with the mental health aspect of it. And I think that's really a positive thing. I know everybody has an opinion on that. Not everybody agrees with it, but the reality is there's something got to be done to save people's lives. And if anything does something to save people's lives without violating the Second Amendment, I'm all for it. That's my statement on that. And in the last good news sentence or statement, last week a hot dog truck carrying hot dogs was in an accident, and the hot dogs were spewed all over the road, so they had a free hot dog giveaway. Anybody who came by and drove by was able to pick up a few hot dogs from the road. So there you have it. That link is in the chat as well. What else could we talk about? Anybody have anything that they want to say?
Infocom was really good.
Yeah. Now, Infocom, I heard something very interesting about Infocom, and I don't know if it's true or not, But I heard that there was an outbreak of COVID at Infocom, that people who went to Infocom, a lot of them, or a good portion of them, or maybe one or two people, came down with COVID. But from my understanding, it was an interesting show. Was there a lot of people there, or little people, or what was there? What did you see?
It was jammed. All decision makers, all people of that basically have, you know, they're running the project. It felt like it was weeded out people that were kind of like would waste time with, you know, non-business stuff. It felt like a really good show. It was good. Really good.
Now, I believe if I'm correct, Infocom is not a place where you write sales. I believe that in their policy, it's more of a showcase rather than a place where you write sales. It's where you meet people, and then after the show, you get together and you then close the deals. But I think, isn't it correct that Infocom frowns on you actually writing business at the show? Or did they change their policy?
Yes, they do. They do frown on that. That's actually in writing. It's even in writing with my show as well, because Nevada law is very clear. If a company comes to Nevada on more than one occasion and sells gear from the same location or event, they have now created what the Attorney General considers a nexus, meaning they are doing business in Nevada on a regular basis and have to sign up for a Nevada business license and pay all appropriate Nevada taxes. So it is frowned upon by everyone. And if they do that, actually what has to happen is not only, let's just use Meyer Sound, because Michael's here and he spoke up. If Meyer Sound sold a speaker system at Infocom 2020 and then sold another one again this year, they would be considered as having a place of business within the state of Nevada. They'd have to register, they'd have to pay taxes, et cetera, et cetera. But not only that, Infocom, for leasing them the space in which they did business, would also now have to register with the state of Nevada as a Nevada-based business, not a Virginia or Maryland, I forget where they're based, Maryland-based business, and do all that paperwork. So there's a reason they don't want you to do business on the show floor. You can talk business all you want. You can quote numbers. You can write up proposals, but you cannot transact, meaning you cannot from the show floor accept a payment for something unless you happen to already be a business licensed in Nevada. Like if you were Almo or Stampede or any of the distributors who already have business licenses in every state because they do mail order business, then sure, go ahead and write stuff out of your booth. It doesn't matter because you're already registered.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you know your camera's not on?
I do know my camera's not on.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you didn't say, yeah, no, if you hum a few bars of it, I could figure it out on a keyboard, you know, but that's good. Yeah. All right.
Listen, you're lucky to have me here.
I am lucky to have you here. You're the voice of authority when it comes to Las Vegas, and I love that. What's the next Cavlo coming up?
Look at you. Buttering me all up. Mm. The next Cavlo is October 12th and 13th in beautiful Arlington, Texas.
Cool. Now, one of the things that I wanted to ask you last week, but you weren't here last week, and also I want to say Michael's in the room, but there's two Michaels in the room, but we're not representing our companies here. We're here as individuals, you know, in that respect. So let's be clear on that. But here's what I want to ask. What do you know about the sphere, the MGM sphere? What is happening with that? And could you talk a little bit about what they're doing and how they're doing it as far as the sound and the video?
It's not the MGM sphere, it's the MSG sphere.
Oh, MSG sphere. Thank you for correcting me.
And I know very little beyond what anyone could have read in the paper, because of all, they are by far, the people I know who work there are being the most tight-lipped about any project ever. So they must have the most ironclad, scary, we'll sue you and take your children NDA ever in the world, because nobody's talking about it.
Yeah, but I know what I've read in regards to the paper, and my retention of it isn't because I read it a long time ago, but the effect of it, from my understanding, is that every seat has 360 degree sound. Everywhere you go in that building is 360 degree sound, immersive sound.
Every seat can potentially have fully immersive sound. And as you go through certain tracks, sooner or later, every seat will get perfect surround sound, basically 360 immersive, but that's moving kind of in waves. Not everybody has perfect 360 degree immersive sound at the same time.
Okay. And the video, the absolute amount of video panels on the walls, I mean, it's basically the whole outside of that building is going to be a video panel. Isn't that correct?
Yep. It's scanned and it's all custom made, obviously, because you're not just making a circle, you're making a sphere. So all those panels have to be custom made to fit together. And then obviously they're all addressed via IP. They all need power, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, yeah, cool. Now, do you know anything about what manufacturers are inside the building as far as sound or lighting?
The sound system is a brand I'd never heard of, and I always forget their name because I've never heard of them again since. I know they're OEMing the amplifiers from PowerSoft, and it's a bajillion single-channel amplifiers.
Wow. That's very interesting.
Is that an actual cricket? Did I actually hear a cricket? That was a real cricket. That was funny.
Well, you could hear crickets from me outside. You know, there could be some crickets behind me. That I don't know, but I'm sure there are. There are crickets, there are frogs, there's horses, there's ponies, there's ducks, there's geese, there's pheasant, there's antelope. If you get a chance to Google Fisherman's Way, Rawai, Thailand, you will see where I am right now. And
what kind of time do you think I have on my hands to look up your house?
Well, I'm not saying it's my house. It's just the area of where I live. And I'm not giving you the address. I'm not giving you the address. Anyway, all right, so let's open it up. I'm trying to see if there's anything else that I want to talk about, that I have anything here that I was really looking forward to talking about. I got a million miscellaneous stories, but nothing that it seems to jump out with me. And something that I want to talk about. Let me see if I'm looking right now to see if there's anything. Instagram will be offering paid subscription services for creators. So if you want to expand your horizons and use Instagram for advertising, it's going to cost anywhere between 99 cents and $100 to advertise and to have paid subscriptions on Instagram. Let's see, what else can I tell you? Let's see. There's a lot of fraud going on around right now. Be very, very careful. I saw a great article about how to be careful of web fraud by a company called Wise.com. And we'll also throw that into the chat as well, about web scams. So, I mean, here's the deal. If you get an email from someone you don't know, do not click on any links. If you get an email from someone you know with an attachment, but you're not expecting it, do not click on until you speak to that person and say, hey, did you send me this for real? You know, that is something that you have to be very careful about. So just be careful, because right now there's still a lot of people out there that are scam crazy, because all they got to do is get one person and it pays for their week. They get two people and it pays for their month. So be very careful out there. And when you're out there on the internet, and we're all out on the internet all of the time. So that's about it for me as far as what I've got. Is there anybody in the room that has something that they want to bring up and talk about?
Well, you had mentioned the dates for NAMM next year, and I'm guessing they don't want anybody from Sound Image to go to NAMM next year because it's the same weekend as Coachella.
Mike, the reason why the NAM had to move the way they moved was because of a bunch of the major companies. They made the move this year because LA was going to be locked down. They had to make a choice. It's a big convention. So the show moved. Now they wanted to move it back to January. Well, there's a problem there. A bunch of their vendors, big vendors, huge vendors, can't do two trade shows of that size in the same year. So they moved it to as close to the beginning of the fiscal year for those companies affected, which their fiscal year ends in March. So it's early April. So they've got it to be early April. And then the following year, it's worked out that they can go back to January. So it's a little more complex than just, you know, it has to do with vendors and a lot of the staff there at NAMM were.
I know all those things, Michael. It still doesn't change the fact that it's the same weekend as Coachella.
Well, I don't know whose gig that is, but, you know.
Everybody asked
if anybody wanted heard. To talk about it, something. I talked about something.
Yeah.
There you go. Hey, I just got a text message from somebody who knows me, who is watching the show, who I am shocked that he's watching. I want to say hi to Kenny. And he just texted me saying that the Silver Cup sign is by the 59th Street Bridge, not in Brooklyn. So there you go. There are people actually watching this show that are not in the industry, which is really, really cool.
There is all we can say at this point. There is a person watching the show. you need someone else who's currently watching to text you to prove that there are people watching.
But that would mean that people who don't know me wouldn't be able to text me. They would just have to put something in one of the chats. But if you watch the Facebook, yeah, there's always comments. There's always comments on that. And, you know, not everybody gets a chance to watch it live. A lot of people like to watch it in this, you know, in their leisure time of, you know, when they're doing something other than, you know, wanting to think. They just want to, you know, with their minds and go somewhere else, you know. And that's why we try to make this a little bit more humorous than the average, you know, tech show, you know, and the kind of like, it's not really tech. I don't like really
talking about being the operative word there.
Yes. Yes, that's right. And thanks to you, it is a very, very good attempt at trying, you know. For anybody who's taken the Warner Earhart training ceremonies or EST, you know that you can't try and do anything.
You either do it or you don't do it. So Jan, did you do EST?
Yes, I did.
I worked for LifeSpring.
No way.
Yep. I got stories I could tell you.
Well, there's no time like the present. People are listening.
No. We don't tell those stories online.
Those are the stories we have. Well, you see, now that gives you people reason to join us before we go live and after we finish being live so that you could join the conversation in the room.
What year did you do EST?
Oh, it had to be in the, I was working for Marty Engels at the time, the comedian. So it would have to be the early 80s.
I would have 81, 82, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
And listen, by the way, if you don't believe Warner or John Hanley, then just believe Yoda. Do or do not. There is no try.
Yeah. Yeah. There is no try. Yes, you're 100% correct. You want to think positive thoughts, and that's really what's going on. And I'm really looking forward right now to seeing you all in person back in Las Vegas. In the United States, and next month I will be back in the United States, which I'm very, very excited about. When I came here, I only expected to be here 3 months. I didn't expect to be here a year, but you know, that's what happens. Life is what happens to you when you're busy making other plans, to quote John Lennon. And I don't know where
he got. Fall in love.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a kind of interesting thing because I ask myself, I guess we're getting a retrospective right now, or introspective, how you want to look at it, you know, what life is all about. I ask myself that all the time. What is life all about? Is there anyone that it's all about, or is it a myriad of things that life is all about? What makes us happy? And when it comes down to the end, have we lived a productive life that we perceive to be productive? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Have we lived a productive life? And is it important to live a productive life if you don't want to live a productive life? I mean, if your life is all about just going to the movies, and then the end time comes and you still haven't seen the sequel of the new Marvel movie, is your life disappointing? I don't know what that is. And I ask myself that all the time. What is my life about? Does anybody else ask themselves that? Or are we all stuck on the ruts that we're in and we're just pedaling so hard on our bicycles that we're going ahead and not really looking at an introspective part about what life is all about? And I know that when I was younger, I never thought about this. It's as you get older, I find myself thinking about it. So let me open it up in a room. Is anybody thinking about what life is all about? And what the game plan is?
I keep thinking about the Tube song, "What Do You Want from Life?"
And?
That's a good one. That's a good one, Ken.
And?
Holding the candy apple.
And there you have it. There's an interesting article, and I'm going to get this out of you guys. I'm going to find this right now. And I've been wanting to talk about this for a long time as well. But there's a guy by the name of Daniel Pink, and he's like the foremost expert on this because he's written a book, and the BBC did an article on it. And Tina, if you look down in the notes, you'll find it, so you could throw that into the chat. And he wrote a book called How to Live with Your Regrets. And regrets is often seen as undesirable, but it's a crucial emotion in helping us develop. How do we harness its powerful lessons, by Daniel Pink? And so basically, do we have regrets? Yeah, I think we do all have regrets. But how do we live with our regrets? And what are our regrets? And do we want to share our regrets with the rest of the world? That's one of the things. I remember on February 25th, back in 1993, I was skiing in Lake Tahoe. And I had a major accident, and I was laying on the snow, and I thought I was paralyzed. And the thoughts of what went through my mind at the time were my regrets. That was the first thing that went through my mind. Not about how great a life I was living, or without the fact that I was laying on the snow and it was a beautiful round in Heavenly Valley, Tahoe. But the three things that went through my mind immediately of what my regrets were, one of my regrets was I didn't go to Woodstock. That was a regret. I mean, hard to believe I'm laying on the snow, and that's a regret that came to my mind, that I didn't go to Woodstock. Another regret that I had was that I didn't perform comedy. And I said to myself that if I heal and I can walk, I'm going to get into comedy. And sure enough, I did stand-up comedy professionally for about 2 years. And I learned a lot from that about, stand-up comedy. One is I found out that your friends really start to hate you after a while when you start inviting them to all your shows, when you're just learning what stand-up comedy is all about. And number two, if you're not funny, stand-up comedy is just not for you. So that's what I learned.
And here we are.
And I also learned at that point in time is that, if what this is what I learned is when you find out what you're meant to be doing in life, everything that you need comes to you. And if you're not meant to be doing it, it's just a struggle every day. But when people do something that they want to do because they love doing it from their soul and their heart, like performing, the world will take advantage of you immediately, because the universe is testing you to see how badly you really want it. And sometimes that's what happens when people finally do get to fame. They remember those days where people took advantage of them and ripped them off and asked them to do things for free. And I can see that. I saw both sides of the coin on that respect. And I'm really happy now in life of what I've accomplished for myself and what I want to do. And I don't really have that desire anymore to go out and perform stand-up comedy or perform playing guitar. But I do have a desire to share my thoughts. And that's why I'm doing the Mastermind Roundtable. I thought that would bring all my skills to place so that I can, you know, bring an entertaining and light kind of event for people to come join us every week. And I want to thank you all for being part of it, because I couldn't be doing it. I couldn't have done it without you. Now, I don't need you anymore. No, seriously, all kidding aside, folks, I do need you and I want you. And the reality is that I need you. And I'm really blessed that I have you in my life, especially those that are really participating in the show. I can't thank you enough for all the 108 times that we've gotten together and met, and all the people that have inspired me to continue doing this. So I want to thank everybody about that. All right, anybody else have anything they want to say?
On behalf of everyone here, I will say you're welcome. And I will agree, you are blessed to have us here.
Yeah, especially you.
So why have we not heard the joke of the day in a while? It's been quite a few episodes since we had a joke of the day.
Well, that's because Josh, we're on LinkedIn now.
That is not an invitation, Josh. Not an invitation.
Yeah, that's because we're on LinkedIn and we got to keep it clean, you know, and that's it. It's funny. I used to hear jokes all the time, and now I don't hear jokes as much anymore, because basically jokes are more of an American thing. And they don't translate well, just like in any other language. It's a custom that has to do with the language. And most jokes are basically about some sort of frailty in another human being. You know, that's where the humor comes from.
Or it's a cultural thing that doesn't translate, even if the language translates. It isn't just a matter of you had to be there. You had to be raised there to get.
Yes. I'll give you the example that really stands out in my mind.
Dad jokes work all around the world.
Yeah. Actually, slapstick. That's why Charlie Chaplin was so successful all over the world, because all his material was slapstick. You didn't have to understand the words, you were able to see it. And that's why in the early comedy was all about slapstick. The Three Stooges, you don't have to understand what they're saying. You understand that it looks funny when people are slapping each other in the face and poking them in the eyes, and you know, and they still get up and talk around. But this definitely stands out in my mind. I was living in Brazil at the time, and I told somebody in Portuguese, my best Portuguese at the time, that you can't get blood from a stone. And no matter how I described it, they just didn't understand that, because, you know, there is no blood in a stone. So of course you can't get any blood from a stone, you know? But in America, you understand what that means. You want something from somebody and you just can't get it out of them. And, that is a challenge, the way people understand your words. So you have to be very careful what you say, you know? So with that in mind, does anybody have anything else that they want to share with us live to the social media audience before we say goodnight?
The Fed raised the rate today 0.75 points. They raised the
prime. 0.75 point?
0.75 point. The prime went up today.
Wow. Now, I wonder how that's going to affect all of us as people. Of course, that's going to slow down spending and inflation, which should be a good thing. But I wonder I didn't get a chance to look at the stock market. How did the markets respond to that?
One moment and I will tell you. Let's see here. Well, there are no headlines about it, so that's a good start. Let me switch to this other newspaper. That's COVID. Yeah, interesting. I'd have to dig a little bit. but there are no headlines regarding a major stock market drop or anything today.
That's good news. That's really, really good news. Also, the other thing is that CDs now will probably go up to about 5%, which is really, really good. And I'm sure they're going to adjust the mortgage rate so that it's going to stay fluid for a while, so that people can still buy homes. At least that's what I hope.
Well, theoretically, what should happen, because you know, I was talking with someone else about this a couple of days ago, and they were complaining about the price of gas, and I said, well, the price of gas isn't going to change until we stop buying gas. As long as everybody is still buying gas as fast as they make it, at even at whatever, you know, my buddies in California are paying over $6 a gallon. Here in Vegas for super unleaded, it's high five, mid to high fives. But you know, you need gas, you're going to work, you buy the gas and you keep going. So as long as people keep buying gas at that price, the oil companies have no incentive to lower the price. So it's, yeah. So that's the tricky part, right? And then on top of that, unemployment is dramatically low. So we don't have all the classic signs of a recession, because unemployment is very low right now, 3.6, I think, percent nationwide on average. So this is really just about if we can curb consumer spending a little bit. That's what's driving inflation right now, is everybody just keeps buying. If we can slow down the buying enough for there to be a little bit more surplus in or headroom in the market, whatever market you're talking about, gasoline or consoles or new cars or anything, once there's a little bit more surplus, then there's a reason for everybody to start negotiating better prices, inflation slows down, so on and so forth. So I would say that the bulk of the inflation we're feeling right now is generated by our very own spending habits.
Well, I think there's two other issues involved, and I've read articles about this. Number one is that the government, the U.S. government, has stopped putting money into the economy, i.e. there's no longer a benefit of a net for unemployment. They've stopped that. So the government is not spending money on the people right now. And that is also putting a kibosh on things. But the president of Bank of America, Monahan, said that there's more money in savings now in banks than ever before. It's something up like 20% from before COVID, because a lot of people didn't have anything to spend money on, so they kept it in the bank. And the other aspect of it is China is closed again. They closed now it might have reopened, but for a long time they closed down Beijing and Shanghai and the Shanghai harbor. So basically all of the consumer goods that we're getting from China has slowed down, but that's going to open up. And when that opens up and the supply chain issues start to disappear, then there's going to be abundance of goods available. And as we all know, the law of economics, the supply and demand, the more supply, the less demand, the prices go down. And that's what's going to happen. So we are going to see that. But in regards to the gas prices, I just want to say this. Is there anybody in the room that buys bottled water? Anybody buy bottled water?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, if you do
five gallon bottles, not the small.
Now, if you do the analysis of what it's costing you for the water, you will be surprised to find out you're paying more for water than you are for gasoline. And the other thing that I will tell you is Americans are spoiled, because throughout history, Americans have been paying less for gasoline than anyone else in the world. When I was in Brazil and I was paying something along the lines of, you know, $2.25 for gas in Brazil, it was closer to $10 a gallon, you know? And of course they fool you by selling it by the liter. So you don't realize how much money you're spending until you see the bill at the tank, you know, and still, you know, whoa, what's going on? How you fill up your tank. But Americans have been spoiled because our gas has been subsidized for so long. And a lot of the prices of gas go, if you look at what you're paying for gas, most of it is taxes anyway. So, I mean, we can control the price of gasoline, that's for sure. And evidently right now, I am sure there's going, when they do look into it, they're going to find that there's been some gouging. And the last thing I'll say about gasoline is that I don't think they built a new refinery in the last 20 years. I don't know when the last refinery was built, because who wants that in their backyard?
Well, and most people don't realize that all the major oil companies here in the U.S., all your Chevrons, your ExxonMobil, et cetera, they have each of them, thousands of oil wells that they are currently not using, that they pay the lease on, and they've got, in some cases, equipment there, but they make their judgments about where they want the price of crude to stay and whether or not they need to produce oil. And just like OPEC, they're smart enough to know if you produce too much oil, the price goes down, and sooner or later, you've shot yourself in the foot. So yeah, they're quite happy to sit at $120, $125 for a benchmark crude barrel of oil. That's how they make their money. I mean, their shares are astronomical right now. It's one of the reasons, I don't know if it passed, but or if he did it, I shouldn't say passed, if he did it, but President Biden was looking at, I believe, tripling the fee for unused oil wells on public land. So there's a fee to have an oil well on public land, obviously, and it costs more to not use it. Well, he was looking to make it even more expensive to not use those wells, hoping that would, you know, goose the oil companies into opening them up and easing some of our scarcity.
Well, yeah, and then plus he's going to Saudi Arabia, because they could open that tap at any moment. But then again, how much refinery can they do? That's the challenge.
At the end of the day, that's what they've been wanting all along. I firmly believe this. Other people don't. I don't know how you could not believe it, but okay. When Saudi Arabia murdered and butchered a reporter,
Khashoggi.
Yep, Khashoggi. They put themselves in what they thought was a pretty tough, not a pretty, they thought they were in an okay spot, because I believe, this part is purely my opinion, that they were pretty sure Trump would win re-election. And Trump had never shown any kind of desire to challenge Saudi Arabia on anything. And he certainly didn't say a whole lot when the murder actually happened. He did some perfunctory statements, but there was no real consequences. Biden came into office calling Saudi Arabia, quote, a pariah, unquote. And the result is they see no need to open the tap for more oil, even though for most of the Western world, the Russian oil supply has been removed. And granted, that's only a couple of percentage points out of our supply, 2 or 3, but that's how close we run, right? 2 to 3, taking out 2 to 3% of the oil we use makes a big difference to us and makes the rest of the oil that much more valuable. So Biden is basically having to, for lack of a better term, swallow his pride and go make nice with MBS and not call him a murderer, and see if he'll open up the tap just a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, there is some plausible deniability there, although it's very limited, but you could, you know, politicians, they say whatever they want to say, whenever they want to say it, for whatever reason they want to say it, to get what they want. And that's all there is to it. And so I guess what it comes down to is not for any reason, but to get what they want is the bottom line. And all right, well, moving on, does anybody have anything else they want to say before we close it to the public? I guess that's about it then, ladies and gentlemen and children of all ages. I want to thank you all for watching again. Next week will be the 108th episode of The Roundtable. We're getting more and more involved in what's going on in the world and how it affects us as people with positive stories. Every story you heard today was pretty much positive, which I like. And the people in the room are very positive. And just remember, everything you heard was an opinion. So I want to thank you all for joining us today, and make sure you leave your comments in the comment section wherever you're watching this. And the other thing that I will say is just remember, everything you heard was an opinion, and you make it happen. So please go out and make it happen. Do something positive for yourself. Have a great day. Have a great week. And next week, I'll be coming to you from the city of Chiang Mai, where at this time, I'm either going to be super happy or super not happy, because we're going to visit U.S. immigration to see if my girlfriend could come to the United States. And we'll see what happens. And by then, we'll all know we'll know the full tale, and I will report to you. So if you're interested in knowing what's happening with immigration here in Chiang Mai to the United States, on my aspects of it, tune in next week, same time, same place, to hear the outcome. All right, well, until then, remember, you make it happen. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again all soon, and we are off the air.
Good, I'll turn my camera on.
Good idea. But give me 1 second, because I'm still recording, and I've got to close this window down to open this window to stop recording.
Mike Maxson will love this picture.